Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, thank you for joining me today. I'm going to start out with a series of questions. What are chakras? I'm asked that all the time. What purpose do they serve? This is for people who really haven't quite touched that intuitive part, or the ones that have that really just don't know much about them. And how are they a part of the mind-body-spirit connection? And are there more than seven chakras? I get asked this all the time. I actually work with a 13-chakra system. I'm going to touch on that briefly today in the show. And then what does our soul have to do with the chakras? So starting out with questions, just to provoke the thought, and then I'm going to be going in and talking about chakras, bridging the spiritual nature of who we are to the physical nature of who we are. I want to thank you this morning for joining me. I'm your host, Carol Reitberger, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And today, again, I'm going to be talking about things that are just very near and dear to my heart. And I also am going to be going in and looking and maybe debunking some of the things that we have learned about chakras. There's so much that is now technologically being able to measure them and the field that they put out, and then also having the ability to literally see the aura since 1981, since a near-death experience. I'm going to be going in and sharing what I have learned about the chakras and how magnificent they are in actually bridging that physical self to the higher self. The first hermetic axiom of hermetic medicine is all about as above, so below, as below, so above. And the chakras really are that bridge that allows that higher self, the I am of who you are, to manifest itself on the physical plane. And then also to take what you manifest on the physical plane and what you learn and from that those experiences, and you grow and you spiritually evolve, meaning you raise your vibration of the aura or the chakra system, then it allows you to take what you learn and then to be able to take it to your higher self, again, the I am, and then the source, to be able to change and be a part of the shifting of consciousness. And that, so, of course, it's been always been very, very active, but we really are in unprecedented times right now as far as energy and chakras and the power of thoughts, and how if you experience something in your physical world and it's not what you desire, all you have to do is change your thoughts. That literally changes the vibration of your chakras, makes you more illuminated or enlightened, and then allows you to be able to be the change that each one of us actually came here to be. We may not know what we came here to be, but the chakras are an integral part about helping us recognize when we're in alignment with our soul's purpose and when we're not. And the soul uses emotions to tell us when we're not. Because we have negative emotions, negative responses to situations. The chakras tell us when we're not, because we get drained of energy. But the chakras also tell us when we are in alignment with ourself and our soul's intentions, because we just seem to hum. Everything seems to have a state of sync about it. So a very exciting topic for me to be able to share what I have been able to actually see in the aura of people, and then also my relationship with chakras. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about chakras, something that you've been, you know, just wanting to know, or about your health in the U.S. and Canada, you can call me at 877-230-3062. Well, let's start with just the basics. I call this Chakra 101. Chakras are literally, in Sanskrit writings, are literally talking about their wheels of light. And in these wheels of light, they create an emanation or an illumination around the human body that we call the aura. The aura itself has many different colors within it and many different vibrational frequencies. These frequencies reflect the activities of the chakras themselves. So that's the esoteric aspect of it. Now let's get into the physical aspect of it. What are chakras? They are basically bell-shaped vortices. And I say vortices because there are seven major chakras in your body, and they look really like a bell. In fact, when I teach my students in my Reitberger Institute, when I teach them about chakras, I liken the chakras kind of to the human ear. They have a large disc opening so they can take in all this energy-carrying information, all this information that comes at us that falls below the threshold of our five physical senses. So they come into the ears, same way that we hear outside noise. They spin around and kind of vibrate around. They go into the inner eardrum to where they go in and they start to vibrate. And then they have a long tail that basically aligns itself with specific parts of the spine itself. And that energy carrying information is heard. Maybe it's 5 mL, but it's heard. It basically spins around and kind of amplifies itself. It gets in energetically into that inner ear. It vibrationally connects to that tail that connects to the central nervous system, the spinal cord, and voila, it's a different way for energy information that we normally cannot be aware of to travel up the spine into the brain, and specifically a very important part of the brain. It's called the higher brain. I'm going to actually do a show on that in the future because I have a lot of interest in that. But this higher brain reads information and reacts and responds to information very much like the human brain, but different, meaning that it aligns the information with the soul. So very, very interesting. So if you think of the chakras as kind of your soul's ears, what they're doing is they're listening for all of this unspoken vibrational vibe mail information that's out there that can be of value to you in your quest to know thyself, as the ancient metaphysicians would say, which is the secret to all healing, not curing, but healing, to know thyself and to be able to gain access to information intuitively or whatever it can be in order to get that information to your higher brain, your soul's brain, so then you can have a different way to look at the situation. It's another form of intuition, and your chakras listen, bring it up. The inner brain is like the eye that sees things different, and it just offers you a different perspective, a more holistic perspective of what is going on. So chakras themselves are basically what I call the transmitters of human consciousness. What we think, we send out through our aura. That thought has a vibrational frequency. It comes back to be heard in the chakra of the heart. That's kind of like our assemblage point or our antenna that basically, that subtle antenna, as I call it, that basically comes in and allows information to go into the heart to then be dispersed into the chakras, into the soul brain, and then to be able to be acted upon. Very exquisite. When I have the pleasure of being in front of people, and that's really, I can pick it up all the time as far as the aura, being able to do it over the air like this or the internet or being able to do it over the phone. But when I have the pleasure of really being in a crowd of people and watching their auras, I can actually see these variations of colors or vibration in their aura, and it lets me know which chakras are engaged with me, which ones are kind of off going la 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 la, what am I supposed to be listening to, it doesn't make any sense to me. So the chakras also discern as the brain, but the colors let me see where they are, where what we're sharing is touching them deep, deep within themselves, and that comes forward in a vibration, comes forward in the color. So it's just it's like a magnificent light show that I get to watch, and the chakras of the human body are really tied to the physical well-being of the body. The chakras of the soul are really intended to bring our soul's intention or purpose into our physical world so we can manifest what we truly desire. We hear a lot about living a joyful life. Well, that's really what I'm talking about, is being able to see things so holistically that you don't feel like you're trapped in old patterns of behavior or trapped in old thoughts. So the chakras are certainly something that allows us to be able to go in and to just see things differently. One of the other things I wanted to do, and I'm going to do that right now, is to talk about them a little bit more from the standpoint about some of the myths that we have around chakras. And so what chakras, we, in a lot of the books that we read, there's the implication that chakras are really what creates the aura itself. That really isn't the fact. What creates the aura is that each cell in our body, and there are literally trillions of cells in our body, has a cellular membrane. around the cell. And any time we electrochemically, meaning through the thoughts that change the chemistry of the body, or the soul that creates thoughts that creates the vibrational need for change, all of those things and proteins and enzymes and neuropeptides and neurotransmitters and endorphins, there's a whole bunch of different things that affect this membrane. But when the minute this membrane starts to get excited, then what that membrane is saying is, me, this belongs to me. I want this information, or, you know, I want to send you this information. And the membranes around those cells start to vibrate. That vibration actually can align itself with the color. The role of the chakras is to take the cellular activity in their part of the body and be able to actually take that information, transmit it energetically to the heart and to the brain so it can be acted on. So really, when we think of the aura, we have to think of it as cellular activity, and then the chakras are merely the regulators or monitors. It's kind of like Rebecca and my engineer here at Contact Talk Radio. While I'm doing all of this stuff, I know that she's in there going, okay, so let's see, I need to voice modulate this, or I need to do that, or I need to watch what Carol's doing here. And that's exactly the way that the chakras themselves work. The other thing that we hear about the chakras is that they're open or closed. Well, the truth of the matter is, the only time chakras ever close in the body is when the body and the soul have separated and there's death and transition. The truth about chakras is they either increase or decrease their vibration. And if they decrease their vibration, it's like an exquisite dance. When it decreases, the chakra decreases its vibration, another one picks up the tempo. And so we have this push-pull, this in and out, this flow that goes in and basically allows this aura to be very close to the body. For example, when we're in our sleep state, we're in that deepest of sleep, then what will happen is the chakras are just all in alignment. We're in harmony. Our body is in sync. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Our aura is just magnificently big. And the chakras are all in alignment, humming harmoniously with each other, meaning that they're vibrating at the frequency they're supposed to. But we wake up in the morning, and all of a sudden we get a phone call that just kind of sets off our day. Maybe that phone call has a lot of emotional charge to it. Well, in the chakras, the second chakra is human emotion. And what occurs is that chakra goes, oh my gosh, what a day, decreases its vibration. The first chakra, that's our grounded chakra, that basically allows us to manifest our thoughts and our soul's intentions in our physical plane, says, not a problem, second chakra, I'm going to pick it up, I'll pick up the tempo, I'll speed up the vibration, we'll get you where you need to go. Third chakra comes in and basically says, well, first chakra, you don't have to carry all of the weight of doing this, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to raise my vibration. So again, vibration decreases, such as in that metaphor, or it increases based on our thoughts, based on our emotional reactions. So again, they never open or close. Also, the other thing with the chakras is that, can they change their colors? This is a question. The myth has always been that the chakras themselves, the seven in the body, first chakra red, second chakra aura, third chakra yellow, fourth chakra green, fifth chakra blue, sixth chakra indigo, seventh chakra violet or purple. Can they change their colors? Yes. When we shift our consciousness away from ourselves and we become holistic in our consciousness, meaning we move from the me to the we, that first chakra can go from red all the way to an absolutely exquisite magenta. The second chakra of orange can turn into a cantaloupe or a peach or a terracotta. The yellow chakra can go from, if it's decreased, to a very light yellow to where it's increased and it is at its highest vibration, into golden. And that golden color is a significant aspect of trying to understand what enlightenment is, because enlightenment is called golden wisdom. So you can start to see that, again, a lot of what we think about with the chakras is that we have to kind of rethink it. The other thing is, chakras in the pictures always point forward. Well, I'd like to tell you that those chakras, as those antennas and those satellite dishes, can actually point forward, meaning if I were looking at your anterior or the frontal part of your body, it would look like this big cone. And that cone would be picking up information. But the truth is they can move up and down, side to side, and they're mirrored on the back. So in the back, if you have a chakra in that tube in the front, you draw this little line, you have a tube in the back, you have this opening. So that way you can hear what's behind you, you can see what's in front of you. Another way to say that is you can use your past to create your future, and your body is where you are in the present moment. So very interesting from that standpoint as far as the chakras. There are 7 major chakras in the body, as I mentioned. First chakra, root chakra. Second chakra, human emotion chakra. Third, the chakra of our intellect. It is not the chakra of our wisdom. We have to allow our heart, the fourth chakra, to be able to provide that wisdom. And then that third chakra moves from what we acquire in knowledge into a very wise wizard that is able to literally take those gut hunches and to be able to act on them both intellectually and intuitively. Fourth chakra is tied to the heart. However, it isn't the it is the human heart, but there's another chakra when I talk about it. I'll just touch on it in this show and then eventually do another show on the ethereal chakras. But the chakra of the fourth chakra is the love that's tied to what we give other people. And what we have to learn is how to give love to ourselves. That changes that green when we love someone else to a teal where we love ourselves. And teal is the highest color of healing that ever comes into the aura. Then we have the fifth chakra. That chakra is the chakra of self-expression. We can either say things one or two ways. We can repeat somebody else's wisdom or knowledge or opinion or live up to their expectations, or we can allow that chakra to be able to be our own voice, to be able to express our authenticity. If we're expressing other people's information, that chakra can be maybe a dark blue. When we express ourselves in the authenticity, it can be like a sky blue. Again, variation. The sixth chakra is tied to the intuition. That's what I call the spiritual emotional part of who we are. It's not the emotions as we think of it in our humanness that ever becomes wounded or jaded or cynical or anything. It's just pure love. It allows us to see ourselves differently, and when we do, we think differently, and if we think differently, we attract different experiences. Experiences that we desire versus what we have to do. I always say it's like Dr. Stephen Covey, it's we attract what's important versus attracting what's urgent. And then, of course, that seventh chakra at the crown of the head literally forms this silver, opalescent, blue, silver, gold, yellow, all different colors, red vitality, and it's like an umbilical cord that attaches you to not only to your I am or your higher self, but also to the divine source of all creation. So those are the 7 chakras. And I will be talking more about them and sharing the beautiful dance that they do. And but I'd like now to take your questions. So let's go ahead, and I'm going to do this. Hi, I'd like to talk to Rose from Canada. Hi, Rose, line 4. How are you?
Hi, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you, hon?
Carol, I'm just talking for my daughter. She is 15-year-old, but she is extremely moody, and she is angry all the time. It's in a way that we can't talk to her. And I was wondering, you know, like if she is depressed, or if she has any, you know, problem in her chakras. But she had also vitamin D deficiency. Mm-hmm. And for her thyroid, she was okay. But I don't know. You know, she's very moody.
Yeah. Give me her age again.
15.
10. The reason that I asked that is that in the physicalness, I had to be sure that I had heard 10.
And no, 16. She's going to turn 16 in January.
Oh, 16. Very good. Okay. Well, that explains it. Thank you so much, because I thought I heard 10. Yeah. And then where she is that she's going through so many hormone changes. And let's see. So let me go in, and I'm going to do it from different layers for you, Rose. From the physical standpoint, so I'm going to ask a question first of all. Are you open to putting her on birth control pills, or is she open to that?
I think so.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason that I asked that, hun, was just to plant the seed that you at least look at options. That was the reason for the question. She has some hormonal imbalances that are taking place. She's primarily estrogen dominant. And what occurs is it's affecting not only her serotonin, dopamine, which are basically the mood part of the chemistry of the brain, but it's also affecting her cycles. It's affecting her sleep. And some of what you have with the mood swings that you're seeing is that she actually feels to me like she's getting some sleep, has some sleep deprivation. Mm-hmm. And this is because the quality of sleep, when she is sleeping, isn't giving her body what it needs in order, or the depth of the sleep that it needs in order to be able to detox, replenish, rebuild, and revitalize. So when I go in and touch her, that inner circadian clock that we have, basically that clock is running about 4 hours behind where it should. So she wakes up tired, she wakes up moody, she hits a place where she's tolerable, and then the hormones kick in and her clock kicks in, and then now she's back into a state of not being chemically imbalanced. My sense is that in the discussion, if you were to talk to a gynecologist or an OBGYN, what they would do is they would probably consider using something such as birth control pills, mainly to see if it would be able to help regulate her estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, dynamics of her human body, and that would help her tremendously. The other thing is that as I was just talking, and I'm using you as a surrogate right now, the other thing is, honey, there's a friend that she has that is really turning her inside out, and it's creating a lot of emotional stress, and it's causing your daughter to compromise a lot of her values and a lot of the standards that she's grown up with and instilled with. And I would watch her in her behavior, because I can go in, and when she gets around this person, she's more moody than normal. And so this person is creating a lot of inner emotional distress. Now I've got the hormonal distress, I've got the emotional distress, and I've got some sleep deprivation that is happening. So what I would do from a holistic standpoint is to maybe find a homeopath or a naturopath that you can work with that could help her from the standpoint of trying to be able to work with her body to be able to put her in some kind of balance. So let me tell you where I pick it up. There is an imbalance in the pituitary gland, tied again to moods, tied again to hormones. The thyroid is low. The thyroid is not necessarily anything that, you know, needs to be really dealt with aggressively, but it needs to be dealt with. The hormones of the ovaries and the way that they produce are also out of balance. And then when I add the fatigue and the sleep deprivation on top of it, bless her little heart, sometimes truthfully, honey, and then you add the emotional part, it's all she can do to cope and get through the day.
Okay, and Carol, I was wondering, if I cause her any stress or her dad, you know, I try so hard to just help her, but she is so, she's so resistant and she doesn't want to hear. She's not tolerating, you know, like just to talk to her at all.
Right, right. Well, that's a real, real good sign that something is happening in her outside world that should be looked at. So the first thing I would encourage you to do is go and talk to the school counselor,
uh-huh.
and then see what is available there from the standpoint of what the school can do. It would be worthwhile if she could find a psychologist or someone. I know she's resistant to that. I can feel it. But she feels like she needs a safe forum, a safe place for her to be able to talk about some of the emotional things that are going on. It's very easy as mothers for us to think that we're doing something wrong and that we're not helping enough or loving enough or we're prying too much or we're not prying enough. It kind of puts us into our own opportunity to reevaluate ourselves. But I can tell you that what she's going through does not have to do with you or your husband. And does she have a sibling?
Yes. Yeah.
It doesn't have to do with any of that. I will tell you it has to do with all of these other things. It has to do with school. It has to do with the friends. It has to do with something. This really, it just doesn't have to do that you're doing something wrong. So I would go and just talk and find a forum for you to be able to express yourself and then see what avenues you have for her. But the sleep deprivation is something that she won't be able to think clearly. And actually, she would probably, as long as it doesn't, you know, as long as it doesn't sound like mood swing, she would probably be open to discussing the sleep issues. And that would be the first place I would start.
And what is the color of her personality, Carol?
You know what, sweetie, I would love to tell you, but I'm not going to, and that's not because I'm trying to be smart, aleck, or anything else with it. The one thing is that your daughter is in such a place in her own life that if I told you her color with where she is, that would be unfair to her. But I can tell you one thing. She is not your color.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I am green, and just, you know, lots of differences, and I suspected that she's orange.
So, now that you've said that, that is accurate.
Oh, it is?
It is. See, that's one of the things I learned when I was in that transition time. The greatest gift we have is to be able to discover ourselves and to help other people discover us. But she does make decisions based on emotion. She is so tied right now to her self-worth being tied to other people. And it doesn't have anything to do with you.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't make it easy for you. I understand that. But I would look outside. If that rings true to you, look outside and see what else that you can do for her to be able to see that it's going to work.
Yeah, because I am a psychologist, and I try, you know, to help her, but she is so...
Yeah. Well, you're her mom, hon.
Yeah.
You're her mom. Well, thank you so much, Rose, for calling me from Canada.
For taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. Well, light and love to you. Okay, I'm going to go ahead. Rebecca, we're going to sneak one more in so I can get a few of these calls, and then I'm going to go to a commercial break. So let's take Candy from New Hampshire. Hi, Candy. Hi, how are you? My pleasure. How can I help you, hon?
Well, I've got some kind of blockages going on. I feel stuck and frustration. I grind my teeth and bite my fingernails and wondering what's going on.
Oh, my gosh. Is this you? Is this me? Is this you? Is this me? Excuse me for that, but I'll tell you, honey, right now there's so many of us that are in so much frustration. We're all biting our nails trying to figure out where that next step is going to be. We're all grinding our teeth because we've all, I said to someone yesterday when I was doing a reading, I think all of us have a hairball inside that needs to be coughed up. And we're just all kind of biting our tongue and gritting our teeth. So let me using all that metaphor to say to you, there is a lot more that's happening that meets the eyes. There's a restlessness in all of us that will basically be, that's kind of like a cat on a hot tin roof. And we feel this pull to be able to move forward, but the reality is we don't know where we're going, so as a result, we don't move. That is good news. Good news is if we move before we had a chance to think about what are we really good at, what do we really love to do, and to really evaluate and reevaluate our life and where it is, then if we don't do that, we just repeat where we've been over and over, and that's not what this energy is all about. So, having said all that, let's go in. So if I were to look at your aura as I am right now, there is like this little break in the energy field between your second chakra and your fourth chakra. It's right there in that third chakra corridor. That third chakra corridor is personal power. It's where we have our self-confidence. Now, yours isn't a big, open, gaping wound. It's just a little tiny opening. But what it's doing is it makes you feel like you're disconnected from your physical world and you're living in this world where you're actually watching yourself is what it feels like. It doesn't feel like you're emotionally connecting the way that you were before. The good news is you're not. And that what I mean by that is you won't be inclined to stick with the emotional patterns, specifically around people and what they expect of you. It's like you've peeked open in this little crack into Pandora's box to start to discover who you are. That third chakra is where we hold thoughts. Those thoughts are thoughts created by other people and conditioning. What I encourage you to do is to continue to touch your heart, continue to explore who you are, look at all of your life, look at all the possibilities. Don't use the past to tell you where you can't go. Use the past to show you where you don't want to go. and look forward. The next thing is, what do you do for a living?
I kind of volunteer at the moment.
Good. And that is literally the way I said it. Most people, when I say that, think, okay, well, Carol's asking me about what I do for money. So I can tell you, volunteering is the right place for you to be. What is occurring at this point in time is that that volunteering that you did out of the love of your heart to be able to help others has turned into a job where it's no fun. There's something that's going on within the organization or the situation that volunteering is no longer giving you those warm fuzzies. I would encourage you to step back, look at the volunteering you're doing, looking at the people that are involved, the philosophy that's involved, the real intention behind what's involved, and be sure that that aligns with your values and principles. I can tell you it does not. It doesn't mean, excuse me for being a know-it-all, it doesn't mean that you have to leave what you're doing from the volunteering, but I encourage you to look at what you're doing, and it may be time for you to walk away from it and then to be able to move into a different part of volunteering that will give you back the passion in your heart. You are not spiritually blocked. It's just you're blocked by old patterns of thinking. So the way I say this, my love, volunteering, you're in the right church, you're just in the wrong pew. Don't give up your volunteering. It's who you are and what you do. It's an integral part of your self-worth and self-esteem. But look at what you're involved in as organizations for volunteering and rethink it.
Well,
that's what I'm picking up.
Okay,
well, thank you very much, Candy. I appreciate the call. I hope that it helped you. You know, that's something that we're all kind of working with right now. We keep thinking we're stuck, and I always keep saying, maybe we're really not stuck. Maybe we just need a little more time to be able to evaluate what we truly desire to do versus moving forward in something we've always had to do. I think that's a perfect way to stop and take a quick break, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to be right back. I'll talk a little bit more about chakras, and we can fill in some of the blanks and go from there. Please stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Remember, you can podcast or download any or all of the shows right here on ContactTalkRadio.com by visiting each of your favorite hosts' page.
Hi, well, thank you again for joining me. I've been talking about chakras today and taking your calls. If you have a question for me, I encourage you to call me at 877-230-3062. I'd love to answer your questions about chakras and then also answer questions about your health. So that's the both are the fun part of the show. So let's see. I've been talking about chakras, talking about how they're wheels of light. I've talked about there's seven chakras in the body, and I want to just briefly touch on the fact that there are five ethereal chakras, as I call them, that are tied to the soul. Where are these chakras? If you've gone in and you've had any Carillion photography, that's the photography that basically looks at your face and it shows all these colors around you. What that photography is showing you is it's showing you that this aura, this ethereal chakras are all very active around you. These five, we have the eighth chakra that's tied to our Akashic records. It's basically all of your soul lifetimes that you've been able to experience information that you felt of value that would be kind of like your reference library to be able to do and use over and over again in the lifetimes that you incarnate. Again, it is never my intention to offend anyone who does not believe in reincarnation. I can say it another way. Genetically, you are your mother, your father, your grandmother, your grandfather, great, 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 and goes on and on, because a lot of what is applied or perceived in the Akashic records, actually, we know, is part of your genetic DNA of your makeup. So two different ways to look at it. The ninth chakra is the chakra that resides on the other side of the crown. The 11th chakra is on the left side. The ninth chakra is on the right side of the crown. That used to be called the Halls of Amanti, the Great Library of Wisdom, the Room of Sages, the Hall of Angels. Lots of names have been given to it. That's the part of ourselves that's tied to that deep soul brain that we have that basically goes and finds answers to the questions that our intellect cannot answer. So it's kind of like the Smithsonian Library, and that we go to and we say, listen, I want to know about what is my purpose. And when we ask that question, not from what am I going to do tomorrow for a job, but really wanting to know ourselves, we go into this ninth chakra and we basically ask our soul, what is my purpose? And that information is provided usually in dreams or moments of insight or flashes of insight or epiphanies or just a knowing we know this is what we are supposed to do. The 10th chakra resides above the crown where the 7th chakra is, and this basically creates that conduit, that lifeline between heaven and earth. It allows your higher self, the I Am, to be able to manifest on the physical plane, and the physical plane to be able to raise the vibration of your higher self. The 11th chakra is off to the left shoulder. This is your soul chakra. This is your soul's heart chakra. And this is the chakra that we hold all of the love toward ourselves and all the joy and all the passion and all the pleasantness and all the excitement and all the peacefulness and all the blissfulness and all those wonderful words that we would like to experience in our life. The 12th chakra is over the right shoulder. This basically is the chakra that connects the body, mind, and soul. And it is the part, the chakra, that basically ensures that the mind and the body continue to dialogue the way that it needs to stay healthy, and that the soul is in the driver's seat, keeping the mind in some kind of a process to where the mind doesn't run awry. It kind of keeps it in a line with the soul's intention, and then as a result, the body experiences itself in good health. The other chakra, there's the 13th chakra that really isn't a part of the soul, but it is. And I know that sounds like a riddle, but what I'm really talking about is that 13th chakra is the energy of the divine source, that magnificent place of consciousness that has no limitations, that basically only sees growth and evolution and only inspires and empowers growth and evolution and to know thyself. And when you take in my classes, when I teach the 13 chakra system, and you start connecting the dots per se with each one of these chakras, interestingly enough, you form the outer form of the Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah is a magnificent tool to teach us how to evolve to our higher self and then to be able to take the wisdom of that higher self and be able to step it down into the physical world. Gosh, I've got friends that have studied the Kabbalah that studied it their entire life and probably will never know all of the mysteries and all of the wealth of wisdom held within it. But it is interesting that if you were to go in and you were to take and connect the dots where you would connect and create the Kabbalah and you were to lay that same pattern over the flower of life, you would find that the Kabbalah or that pattern or your chakras are the seed of all life, the seed of all thought, the seed of all being. Very exciting, isn't it? So, again, they have a lot of different roles. They have a lot of different things that they can bring to us, and very, very exciting. So let me go ahead, and I'd like to jump right in, and I'd like to talk to Ann from Kentucky. Hi, Ann.
Hello.
Hi, thanks for calling me.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. For lack of a better word, I have a pain in the neck.
So, honey, who is it?
Well, I'm wondering if it's someone or if it's from my past accidents as an 18-year-old young lady that, you know, I crashed 3 cars. I don't know if it's just, like, coming forward now or, or if it is somebody or something in my life.
Well, let's go in. You know, I'm going to always start. In your case, I'm going to start with the physical body again. Actually, what you're feeling in the physicalness, the pain of it in your body, is actually the result of the accident. Your weak site, as I call it, in your human body are your shoulders, your chest, and your neck area. And, you know, again, another way that I say it with great love is that's the area that stays so tense all the time, where you carry all the emotional charges or the stress or carrying the weight of the world or on your shoulders, whatever it may be. That area is so tight in you that it's kind of like an accident waiting to happen. And what I mean by that is that any time you get into a place where you're physically compromised, that is going to be the place that is going to experience the trauma first and the most. Even if you were to go in and twist your hips, it's going to be your neck that's going to be a problem. So you have that. I also have some arthritis that has formed in that area as a result of the injuries. That arthritis and a lot of the pain that you're having right now also has to do with ergonomics, something that you're doing. My sense is it's your feet, it's your shoes, it's your arches, something in your, you know, wanting to step forward, move away from this pain in the neck, whoever this person is, we'll see if we can get there. But it's like you're wanting to step out, you're wanting to step forward. It's like you've been behind the curtain long enough, you know, you're waiting for that curtain call where it's going to open up, da-da-da, you're going to do all your dance, you're going to bring yourself forward, and it never seems to happen. So now you're just marching yourself over to the curtain. You're going to pull back the curtains themselves, and you're going to stand there, and you're going to say, okay, world, voila, here I am. The person that is the pain in the neck is the person who's been holding you hostage behind the curtains so you cannot bring your true self forward. Now, that sounds terrible to say about someone. That's not my intent. It's the metaphor of what it is. Someone in your life, and the patterns of their behavior is consistently putting you into that place where you do not believe that you can be on stage. You have to always be behind the curtain. If you could shift your perception and see yourself always in control of those pull strings to open your own curtain, this person, the patterns this person brings forward from your past will no longer have a hold on you.
Okay.
Then you will be able to step forward. And then what you'll be able to do is then you'll be able to move in the direction that you truly desire to move. What I would encourage you to do is I would encourage you from the physical standpoint to look at monitoring, find some way to be able to work with the inflammation as a result of the arthritis. The immune system itself feels like it's tired right now. It feels like you've been kind of burning the candle at both ends, actually. And again, that metaphor is you've been wanting to step forward but afraid to. Then you get strength to, and then you're afraid to take the step. So it's kind of an insidious process. But I would look at doing something to get rid of the inflammation. I would look at some myofascial release work. I would look at maybe some Rolfing or something that can help you get comfortable in your spine and in your body. And I would reevaluate your shoes and see if you don't need to go into some orthotics specifically on your right foot. You'll have to do them in both shoes. But my sense is, first of all, I should say to you, honey, you should probably shouldn't go barefoot. Okay. And what that does is it throws your whole skeleton off, and it throws the muscles off, and then the whole neck off. And that's what we're really working with.
Okay. Do you see me leaving this certain person?
Yes. In fact, I can tell you that you left this person a year and a half ago psychologically. It's just been waiting for the right time and the right place.
Okay. And it's a permanent leave, right? It's not just finding myself leaving, sort of? Or
no, this is a permanent leaving.
Okay. All right.
So as you're looking to your future, stepping out from behind the curtain, look at where you want to go and start the momentum in that direction, and then everything else will take care of itself. My sense is that you'll be surprised how seamless this transition will be from the relationship that you're in to where you want to go.
All right, Carol, God bless.
Well, thank you so much, hon. I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay, what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite you, before I try to take this next call to wrap up the show, I'd like to invite you to join me on my Your Health teleclass, June 25th. It's at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the topic of this month's teleclass, I have one every single month, but this month is on fibromyalgia. And I'm going to be talking about a lot of the implications of fibromyalgia. It's one of those mysterious ailments that we don't really know what it is if we're experiencing it in our body, because it seems like it's so pervasive and widespread, and we're trying to figure out why it happened, what it is, and how can we treat it. Doctors don't know why it happened, what it is, and how can they treat it. So as a result, a lot of the perception of fibromyalgia is it's literally something in your head, meaning that it's more of a psychosomatic issue, more tied to depression than it is a physical issue. The reality of it is, it is in your head. However, it isn't a psychological part. It is very real, and it has to do with the chemistry in the brain and the immune system, and it's creating these places of soreness or creating a place where the movement of muscle cannot happen, and it's very, very painful. So again, that's on June 25th, 5 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time, 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. If you'd like to join me, you can go to my website at www.ritberger.com. You can sign up then. Also, if you sign up for the teleclass, you will get an audio download, and you will also get a printable reference sheet that you can keep in your file, because not only do I talk about the illnesses from a clinical standpoint, I share how as a medical intuitive they map in the chakra system, and then I also share some things that you can do from a alternative or holistic healing process that doesn't always mean that you have to go and to try to be on medication. So again, I hope you can join me. That's June 25th, Your Health teleclass on fibromyalgia. Okay, let's try to squeeze one more in. Hi, Sue from Florida. Hi, hun. How are you?
Hi, Carol. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help you?
Listen, I feel pretty good, but I wanted to address something that I just don't want to believe at this moment. I've had like a droopy eyelid, which gets more droopy at the end of the day. Initially, it started with some double vision, and then I had a retinal tear, which had some flashing lights and some cobwebs, kind of like some black spots. And it was suggested that maybe I should have a brain scan with the imaging, you know, the I guess they inject dye or something like that. And I thought, no, I actually feel pretty good. You know, they thought, well, maybe there was something neurological, you know, wrong. And I'm kind of, I don't like doctors and I don't like to go, and I feel pretty good. And I'm thinking, maybe is this, you know, does this symbolize something that I don't want to see? You know, it's the eyes. They're thinking, you know, ocular MS. And I tend to live in denial, you know, with many things. Right now I'm going through a lot of delays and false starts in my life, and maybe you can help me puzzle this out.
Okay, I will be more than happy to do that. And again, you know, if I can say to you, honey, you're not the only one that's in this dilemma and this delay and everything else on it. You know, is it misery loves company, or is it just the fact that, you know, this really is a very tumultuous time? Again, there are things that we don't want to see, and that has a lot to do with our past. However, when I go into your physical body, I would encourage you to go ahead and at least run the test, and let me tell you why. because when I go into that area and into your body, you do feel like you have a mild form of bacterial infection within you. That is causing your immune system to become compromised. And as a result, there's some things that are affecting the nerves in your body. Now, when I go in and touch your body, there are a couple of things that I can pick up. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to have to use some terms to be able to tell you kind of what it feels like to me, but I am not saying this is what you have, but I am encouraging you to go and to just put your mind at ease so you know. The infection that you have that's affecting your immune system feels like that it is affecting one side of your body, and there are, I almost have some of the infectional aspects of Bell's palsy. And that can cause the drooping of the eye. It can create the fatigue. It is something that is very manageable if it is infection-based, but it's something that I would encourage you to go and to look at. From the yes, go ahead, hon.
Does that show through blood work?
Yes, it will. It will show through blood work.
Okay.
The other thing is that I would go and I would probably go and have talk to a neurologist. And when I go in the neurologist part of it, what I'm really encouraging you to do is to get your mind away from fixating that there's something terribly wrong with you. Because your mind, even though it's getting better, and it has its good days and bad days, and when you get kind of overcooked, as I used to say to my little girl, meaning that you get overly tired, then I can find this activity in the neurological aspect that could cause this eye to droop, this lid to droop. And I think that a neurologist will be able to give you the peace of mind that you're looking for through the testing to be able to know what you're working with and how to work with it. Right now, the thing that I feel greatest in you, Sue, is that this fear of the unknown that is basically eating you up. And for me as a medical intuitive, that weakens the immune system. And if, in fact, there is a mild infection, then that can cause the immune system to not effectively be able to work with it in a way that it can create more harm to the physical body.
Would it clear up if I become more positive in nature? I mean, could I heal this Bell's palsy?
Well, you know what? I really, you're very positive in nature. I really have a hard time just going and saying, you know, honey, we need to happy this thing away, because you are a very happy person. You are a very upbeat person. You have a tremendous sense of self when I get down inside, and you can bring that forward. You can see the direction you want to go. My sense is, though, is what the doctor was saying to you is that we've got something with the immune system that truly does need to be physically checked out.
Okay.
So I would be remiss if I said it any other way, truthfully. It's, again, not to alarm you, but it is enough that I'm picking it up that it needs to put your mind at ease with everything.
What would happen if it was not treated not treated quickly?
Yeah. Let's see. Not treated quickly. Okay, so quickly is going to have to be a judgmental call on your part.
Mm-hmm.
What I would encourage you, if you decided to do this from a holistic standpoint, find yourself a naturopath or an integrative medicine doctor that is both integrative and then also is holistic medicine and holistic in their approach. And I would look at that, and I would give yourself at the very, very most 6 months. And if you don't see any change in that time, then you ought to see the neurologist and move forward with it.
Because I don't have any health insurance.
Yeah. So find some ways to be able to do it. But give it a try, but don't let it go, sweetie. Because
okay.
I'm afraid that your mind is going to, anytime it gets even a little bit less, then your mind is going to come in there and it's going to fixate. And it's just going to block you, hon.
Okay.
So again, you've got some time. Be proactive with it. Do what you think you need to do, and then monitor it. If it gets better, yahoo. If it doesn't, then take the next step. That's the best way to work at it.
Okay, Carol, thank you so much. I
appreciate
it.
My pleasure. Well, thank you so much. Well, gosh, what a great show. I always enjoy the calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills. I've loved talking to you about chakras. I hope that I've opened your eyes to a completely different way of seeing yourself through light and energy and chakras and vibration and thought and emotions, and just a wonderful day. So if you want to listen to the show again or share it with someone else, just go to contacttalkradio.com, go to my archives, and then you can download it not only onto your computer, but your iPod and your MP3. Thank you so much. You have a wonderful day and light and love to you, and I'm going to be back next Wednesday at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Thank you for joining me.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.